Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As we have been talking, the mayoral race is happening right now. The primary in the city of St. Louis will take place a month from today, and then the election happens on April 8th. We have spoken a lot about the incumbent Tashara Jones and a challenger Kara Spencer, but there are a couple of others who are also running for mayor. Andrew Jones is one of them, and the final candidate is Michael Butler, who is with us here in studio, the current recorder of deeds for the city of St. Louis, and Mike is with us now on KMOX. Mike for mayor is what the banner says. That is your campaign.
Sir.
Yeah, so it looks good. It's good. Michael, thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
we appreciate
for having
your
me.
Time.
I might be the last on the list, but I'm the first on the ballot. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, you're not really last.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was giving you like a law firm. The anchor.
Yeah, you're the anchor.
Leg.
You're the
hey, man.
The anchor in the race.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of times, you know, the most important.
And I have to say, current recorder of deeds, that is the most regal of all the sounds, of all the jobs in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like you could have a trumpet blast. The recorder of deeds.
I will tell you that I know exactly what a recorder of deeds does, but could you explain it to other people who don't know what it is?
Yes. So the recorder of deeds is tasked with handling all the land deeds of the city.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an elected administrator with the handle land deeds, birth certificates, death certificates, pretty much any important document you need. I have to take care of that and make sure it's available when you get there to City Hall. I've brought a lot of those documents online. I believe in 2025, you shouldn't have to go to City Hall to access your city government. So that's really improved our office and increased our revenue, increased our productivity.
Yeah. So going back to that, because we have heard a lot about how things are just moving. They move a bit slowly. It's a City Hall, not really modernized. When were you able to move everything online, and what was the old system compared to now?
The old system was a website that looked like circa 1992, had those spinning letters, if you remember that back in the day. And quickly, when I was elected in 2019, I updated the website within 9 months and then changed the state law the next year in 2020 that allowed us to bring marriage licenses online, and we enhanced the birth certificate, death certificate, online services. It's important to know that COVID helped out a little bit with that. So there were some state legislators and some other recorders that weren't so big on maybe doing online services until we had a global pandemic, and they realized, hey, you're right. People shouldn't have to come to our government offices to access these documents. And we were able to move pretty fast during COVID to make that happen.
Michael Butler, you were in the Missouri House for about 6 years.
Yes.
What made you decide to be part of city government instead of doing that job?
Two things. When I was in the state legislature, I was a single, good-looking young guy, and some beautiful woman swooped me up, and I got married. So by my sixth year in the legislature, I had two kids and a wife. And going back and forth to Jefferson City was just not conducive for me. And the second thing is, I have a master's degree in public administration, and I wanted to try my hand at the executive branch and run in an office and not have to beg 181 other legislators, especially Republicans, to get something done. In the executive branch, I can talk directly to people and say, hey, we can get that done for you in a couple weeks.
You're from the city of St. Louis?
Yes, all around, but mostly South Side of State Streets was where I grew up.
Grew up. So familiar with the city and some of the issues that it's facing. What do you think are the city's biggest issues right now?
I think our city is facing going back to the basics. And I hear folks talk about how they just don't feel like they're getting their tax money worth from city government. When their trash pickup, of course, their snow removal, and their salting streets and paving streets from leaf pickup and everything around city government, liquor licenses, they feel like we can be doing much better. The second thing, of course, is crime. People want to feel safe in their neighborhoods, and in a lot of ways, people may see the statistics, but they don't feel the statistics and that crime is going down in our city. And lastly, people want better schools. So while I'm not running for superintendent, I do think there's a lot of money in city government that can go to support reducing the effects of poverty on our students.
As you mentioned, the crime numbers have been improving according to what we are getting from the city, getting from the FBI, but people don't feel it. How do you make them feel it?
We make them feel it by continuing programs that reduce poverty and focus on the root causes of crime. But also, we've got to increase police presence in certain neighborhoods, and we got to make people know that they're safe and that they have safety around them.
How does the potential state takeover of the St. Louis Police Department affect your approach to crime and policing?
It affects it greatly because we're not going to have direct control over the things we want to do. And quite frankly, there are a lot of Republican talking points around what they want to do with local policing that do not hold St. Louis values and that go against what the community in St. Louis City says that they want. What I'm most afraid of is a focus on deportation rather than fighting crime in St. Louis, and as well as going too hard on crime and not building relationships with community is what we're seeing. So I think that'll affect, as a mayor, what I'll be able to achieve as far as organizing and building a quality police department.
Just to follow up on that the state's approach to policing doesn't align with yours. You mentioned deportations. Mm-hmm. What does too hard on crime mean?
Too hard on crime means that we're going to use within Project 2025, which is now the president is focusing on, there's an old program called Stop and Frisk. And what too hard on crime means is that there are programs where conservative legislators want to use unreasonable searches and do and stop and frisk folks just because they think they may be a criminal. And it means that we're going to assume that people are doing criminal activity because they look a certain way rather than doing some police work to make sure that folks are actually involved in crime.
Do you think St. Louis police have the resources they need to do the job properly?
I don't. I think that we need some raises, and that's where I'm hoping that we can partner with the state government for it. They need raises, and we need better equipment. So, and that total is going to be about $38 million, about $30 million for a $15,000 raise for every single police department employee, and about $8 million for new equipment, as far as cars and vests and things of that sort, that any piece of technology equipment that those police officers need. And that's where I'm hoping that we can come together as a city and a state to focus on how we can make sure we can get the correct resources for our police department.
You know, Amy mentioned this earlier, just the dissatisfaction overall with city leadership. And I'd say that dissatisfaction is pretty high. If you ask just about anybody who is a resident of St. Louis City, what do you think of leadership here? They're probably going to give you a negative answer. How do you come out of that? And it doesn't seem like an easy chore, because I think people feel that way about most of city leadership. So is there a pathway out of it?
Absolutely. I think communicating with being open to media is number one. And there's been a lot of time during this past administration where we haven't been able to get our message out. I think we get past by having a vision for St. Louis that people can believe in, we can get past a lot of the things that we've past the distrust between government and our people right now. So yes, with the right leadership, I think people will believe in the future of our city.
So why is trash not getting picked up and our potholes not being filled?
Well, the number one excuse we keep hearing is that we don't have enough people to work. That we have too many vacancies, and we have a $42 million surplus in our city budget because of the amount of vacancies and of positions in our city budget we plan for but haven't filled. I haven't had a vacancy in my office in over 4 years because I pay people what they're worth and I give them the technology they need to succeed. And we've done this by reducing the amount of full-time employees and increasing productivity by reducing the amount of full-time employees. So I I can solve that problem. So we've been hearing that we don't have, we can't hire folks. I hire people pretty well. I retain them, and I want to expand it to the rest of City Hall.
As far as citywide goes, how much authority or autonomy would you have to set pay, you know, to set salary, or if you're paying hourly, how would you be able to do that?
I wouldn't say full authority, but let's say 70%. So you'd have the ability to create a budget that sets pay ranges for each employee. You have the ability to set a budget that reduces the amount of full-time employment. Well, only about 80% of our actual employees that we budget for do we have actually hired. So I would reduce those amount of FTEs and spread that money across the budget in order to increase salaries and get better quality and not necessarily have to go after so much quantity.
How much salary increase are we talking? Is it that the mayor right now said with the money we have, we can't get people, everyone's having a hard time hiring people? Why is your approach any different?
Because we have to be competitive. My approach is that I don't believe that government can be any different than the private sector. And a lot of time, government leaders compete with other governments and not think about the other opportunity costs that are folks that can move it into the private sector where they know they can get paid more. So we've got to compete in a workforce that we know we're competing with everyone in the St. Louis region and some areas outside of the St. Louis region. So it's going to be, we usually do about a 2-3% raise per year. We got to be more aggressive in the departments that we know people are talking about, these customer facing departments, police department, civilian service board, the streets department, 10-15% raises. We need, and we need to be aggressive with doing that as soon as possible. Signing bonuses have also been a part of some hiring, like especially in the streets department, and that hasn't necessarily worked because the salary has been too low. So we've got to be more aggressive and targeted with that aggressiveness with salary increases.
St. Louis mayoral candidate Michael Butler is with us, and as we talked about at the top, and a topic of discussion for us for weeks after the snowstorm, and the fact that many parts of the city were not handled, people couldn't get out, they couldn't go to places they needed to, trash was piling up, all that stuff. The mayor, the current mayor, did apologize for the poor response. So let's say this happens again, and we know a snowstorm is coming. How do you better prepare for it, and how do you have a plan in place ahead of time?
So I would direct $400,000 a year to a special projects fund within our budget that will then stack up over certain years. So we get these storms probably every 5 to 8 years, and we'd have about $2 million to then hire contractors that we'd already have on contract with a deposit to come in and help us with our side streets. I commit to not just doing the arterial and the secondary streets, to doing both of those and side streets. I've always felt that way over the past decade. Why we can't provide that service to our entire city. So that's going to cost about $2 million, by a little bit less. But stacking up every year, we'd have the money for that because the city, this on the city budget committee and the mayor, they reduced snow removal by $600,000 this year. Mm-hmm. They have the reasons why they did that, but they didn't invest that into something else with snow removal. They just put it somewhere else. But we have the money to save up every year to be prepared for these big storms.
I know people talk about crime with the issues facing the city, but another thing driving people out, driving residents out, are the schools. There's a lot of dysfunction in the St. Louis public schools. What kind of pressure, what kind of impact can the mayor's office have on a objectively dysfunctional school system?
So I worked in the school system. I was a teacher for 2 years before I became a state legislator. My grandparents were 30-year teachers in St. Louis public schools. I have a sister who lives in St. Louis public schools. I'm saying that to base that my understanding of how to improve the school system is as a practitioner, not just as a politician. So what I would do, number one, is appropriate for us to support wraparound services. And I want to use our RAMS fund to put wraparound services in about 20 low-income schools. And what wraparound services are, having a social worker and providing at every school a full-time nurse, full-time social worker, and a full-time therapist that helps with kids' mental health and get them access to all the nonprofit programs that we have. So 30% of our students are dealing with housing insecurity in St. Louis public schools, one out of almost three. About that same amount of students are dealing with food insecurity. These are two issues that the city government can help out with. These are two issues that are based upon poverty, and I want to reduce the effect of poverty on our students. And that's appropriate way without being a superintendent, that I think the mayor can move in to help in our schools. So we'll let the superintendent and the school district focus on reading and math scores. We'll focus on making sure every kid goes to school ready to learn and not be focused on how they're going to eat that day.
Lastly, we did talk a little bit about the polling that came out recently, and we have the two main candidates, the one that everybody's talked about, Kara Spencer, of course, the incumbent Mayor Jones. What is your plan to try and make up some ground?
My plan is to campaign. I think that's what campaigns are for, let folks know who I am and what my plan is. What I love about St. Louis City right now is our approval voting. It allows folks to, I'm not taking away from anybody, it allows folks to vote for more than one person. So if they like one candidate and they like the plan for mine as well, they can vote for both of us and we can both be in the general election to find out which plan is better. So I plan to just let folks know what we good we can do in St. Louis City and how I'm the right person for it. And it's been working very well to get on the get more votes on the ballot.
Recorder of deeds and candidate for mayor in the city of St. Louis, Michael Butler, thank you for stopping by and introducing yourself to us and to St. Louis.
Thank you. I thought I was going to hear the horn real quick, though. There you go. The bump, bump, bump.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, very regal. It is such a regal job.
It's so regal. It's like everything else, like alderman, mayor, comptroller. Okay. But the recorder of these.
I love it. Thank you guys for the time. It was very enjoyable.
It's a trumpet y'all. With a flag, a banner.
There
hanging.
You go.
It has to be one of those. A bugle? No, I think it's a trumpet.
A bugle.
A bugle is not a bugle. It's a trumpet.
I don't know instruments.
And it's got the flag.
Yeah, it's the flag that hangs off of it. Yes, that's it. Michael Butler, again, thank you. The primary for the mayor of St. Louis is March 4th. And then, of course, the election is April 8th. Get out there and vote, man. Go participate, would you? It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.